Chapter 22. Imposter Syndrome. I snorted, guffawed, and howled with laughter. Tears streamed down my cheeks. I was watching Jimmy Abbott, a former heavyweight boxer who had ballooned into a mountain on two legs, waddle after an Indian man who had just slapped him. Abbott caught the Indian, who had gone to a conservative Afrikaans area to stir up trouble, and gave him a snot clap. As the ex-boxer prepared to pummel him, the man squealed, "No, Jimmy, that is Ek! That is Leon!" The Indian man was not an Indian man. South Africa is filled with people who conceal their identity and pretend to be someone they're not. Some do it for money. Some do it to score political and ideological points. Some do it to avoid staying in prison. And Leon Schuster does it for lulz. Or at least, he used to do it. Schuster is South Africa's doyen of slapstick and master of disguise. He's the country's most successful filmmaker, and he has the box office receipts to prove it. He launched his pranks in the 1980s, taking on a variety of identities. An Indian traffic cop seemed to be a firm favorite to pull off complex hidden camera gags. His elaborate plots involved transforming himself into dodgy characters who got into the blood-red faces of his fuming victims. Moments before being blixtmed, he pulled off his disguise and shouted, "That is Ak! That is Leon!" His revelation didn't always prevent him being blixtmed, though. For some, Schuster is a national treasure who opens our eyes to our quirks and failings and makes people laugh. Schuster's go-to stereotype was dressing up as a black person. This is what got him the most laughs. He argued that his pranks weren't intended to mock black people, but to mock white people's reactions to black stereotypes. What pulls Schuster's argument apart, though, is that he was picking on the disempowered. Comedy is meant to work the other way. At the more sophisticated end of the satire spectrum, for example, Peter Dirk Ace used his alter ego, the fabulous Evita Besaidenhout, as a political weapon. He aimed Evita at the powerful, lampooning National Party politicians to point out apartheid's absurdities. On the other hand, some of Schuster's skits ridiculed people of color, people who had been spat out of a system that had denied them a proper education and opportunities. His targets were already victims of the ultimate cruel joke, apartheid. One skit still makes me cringe. Schuster asked workers, all of whom were people of color, to check chickens' asses to see which town they needed to be sent to. Schuster wasn't laughing with the workers, he was laughing at them. As blackface controversies exploded on social media, the practice's deep-rooted racist history as dehumanizing and demeaning to black people was brought into sharp focus. In the backlash, streaming platform Showmax removed several of Schuster's skop, skit, and slapstick flicks, citing racial insensitivity. Schuster faced a racial reckoning and retired blackface, well, sort of. He played a white Sangoma in his 2022 movie, Mr. Bones 3, Son of Bones. Schuster is not the only white person who has pretended to be black. Enter the artist Beezy Bailey and his alter ego Joyce Ntobe, born in 1991 out of Bailey's frustration with an affirmative action policy that he feared was coming to the art community. So he used Ntobe to pull off one of the local art world's biggest hoaxes. One afternoon, Bailey sliced out a triptych of lino cuts titled Go Home, Go to Sleep, and Go to Work to depict the drudgery of a black domestic worker's life. He submitted them as the work of the unknown artist Joyce Ntobe for the Cape Triennale. He'd gone outside his studio and asked the first laborer he came across what his surname was. It was Ntobe. By fibbing about his identity, Bailey hoped to expose what he saw as a bigger lie, the art world's spurious racial window dressing. The Cape Triennale rejected Ntobe's lino cuts, as well as a work Bailey submitted in his own name. But the South African National Gallery snapped up Joyce's triptych for its permanent collection. Bailey's partner Nikki posed as Joyce's employer and collected payment on her behalf because she was allegedly on leave in the Transkei. The lino cuts were included in an exhibition called Shelters, where the curator was writing a paper on three black women artists, one of whom was Joyce. When Nikki became unhappy with her role in the saga, Bailey decided to do what Joyce did every day, come clean. He faxed a letter to the gallery and the media and revealed Joyce's true identity. He accused the gallery of inverted racism. When the Weekly Mail interviewed Bailey about the stunt, he dressed in Joyce's black and white striped overall with Duk on one half of his body, which he painted black, and left the other half of his body white and clad in a safari suit. Bailey says only white liberals freaked out about his identity switch. No black people complained. They tended to think it was amusing and clever. Joyce went on to become a feminist installation artist and produced an installation at the Goodman Gallery in a black-painted room with eight Mother Earth figures in resin underlit on boxes containing objects related to her life as a black woman, lipsticks, tubes of hair straightener, and lollipops. Joyce, says Bailey, later had a nervous breakdown and joined a nunnery in the Eastern Cape where she remains. Joyce offered me the opportunity to explore the other, to make work that Beezy would otherwise never have made, he says. I did it with total respect and integrity. It was not a piss take. Rather, it was a liberating, serious art journey. As far as trolling goes, Joyce Ntobe was a pioneer, and in 2017 the trail she blazed was followed by Shelley Garland, who submitted an essay, a clumsy attempt at satire titled Could It Be Time to Deny White Men the Franchise, to a number of publications. Garland wanted to see if an opinion piece with a dodgy ideological premise, false statistics, and fabricated data could get published. It could. Huffington Post essay took the clickbait and was caught hook, line, and sinker. The outrage blew up within minutes of the piece appearing, and to make matters worse for the publication, Garland ghosted it. She couldn't be found. The only trace of her was a Twitter bio describing her as a perpetual feminist causing the retreat of patriarchy. After a frantic search, Huffington Post realized it had been deceived and launched a digital hunt to smoke out the person behind the stunt. The cyber breadcrumbs led to Marius Ruert, a young researcher at a Johannesburg think tank who had created the alter ego using a picture of himself in drag. Ruert said he did it to point out the fault lines in South Africa's media. A year later, Garland handed the trolling baton to Tracy Ziller, who had built a reputation on Twitter as a race baiter. She wasn't the first Ziller to be accused of race baiting. The South African Human Rights Commission received a complaint in 2020 that Ziller was spreading hate speech and decided to investigate this racist white woman. A tracing agency found the owner of the account wasn't a white woman, but Anthony Matumba, an economic freedom fighters counselor in Limpopo's Makado local municipality. He was apparently using racist and inflammatory comments to push people to his websites, which generated income for him. Despite the controversy, the EFF appointed him to represent it in the National Assembly, and he was sworn in as a Member of Parliament in 2020. One day, perhaps there could be more to the Matumba story. Picture the scene 10 years from now, when the EFF wins the 2034 elections. Matumba, who has replaced Julius Malema as party leader, becomes president. During his inauguration, he stands before an army of red berets on the Union Building's lawns. Chief Justice Dali Mpofu asks him to raise his right hand to take the oath of office. Matumba lifts his hand and, with a majestic flourish, whips off his red overalls. His left hand quickly rubs the black shoe polish off his face, and in a triumphant voice he declares, "Dit is ek! Dit is Leon!"